the grilling guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Hey, we're talking with Matt from Hoogerhide Safe. Fascinating conversation, something that I've not really, I inherited one, as maybe you heard in the last segment, but I've never purchased one. But I think it's important that you understand what it is that you're looking for when you, when you do this.
And that's kind of, I guess, when I saw him again recently at this home show, it was great to see him and catch up. But more importantly, looking at the products that Hoogerhide brought to the home show, it's like, wow, it's enormous. They have a giant selection, and one of the brands that I really love is your Fort Knox.
Oh yeah, very good stuff.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
So let's talk about what makes one better than the other, because you don't carry just one brand, right? You carry several. What are they? What are the brands? I mean,
yeah. Again, Fort Knox is kind of our flagship brand. Very high quality across the board. It's all American made.
There you go.
Made with real pride, you know, good welding. They pay a lot of attention to the details. They do tend to be a higher end product. They're not all crazy expensive, but you're not going to get one for $1,000 or anything like that either.
You get what you pay for.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Browning is another one that we sell a lot of. They have, Browning's got a wider line of safes. Their entry level safes are going to start at a much lower price point. American Security is a good company. We sell a lot of their stuff. We also recently brought on some Liberty safes, not so much for their higher end safes, but basically because Liberty makes some entry level stuff that's not Chinese.
And they advertise a lot too, so the name recognition's there.
That's right. Yeah. They're definitely the most widely known company in the business.
More so than Fort Knox.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Yeah. So let's get back to you. We talked about size. Size matters always. Grills, safes. We'll stop there. But anyway, what are some of the other things that I need to know? Because I've got a buddy that has one. When you open the door, there's place for all his pistols on the door. There's like a racking in the door, which is I don't have. Mine's just a flat door when I open it. Mm-hmm. But what kind of features can you look for in a safe?
Yeah, there's different companies do that different ways. You kind of have to keep in mind anything that you can put, you know, if you can put guns on the door, that's great, but that's going to push into the interior of the safe. There's really no such thing as free, unused space in the safe. When the door's closed, everything gets kind of sandwiched together.
Right.
But yeah, there's, you know, pistol racks on the doors can be a really useful thing if you've got a lot of handguns to secure.
Right. So what about documents? This one I have, again, my only reference is the one I got in my basement. There's a little stack, and it takes up way too much room, but it's a stack of shelves that takes up about a third of the interior space. And it's big enough to put an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper in there, the 8.5 wide, right? And you slide them back to the back. And so I keep tax returns in there and marriage license and passports and things like that. Is that typical? Do most safes have a spot like that?
Yeah, that is pretty typical. In most cases, if you're going to make the investment to bring in a good, secure safe into your home, there's more than just firearms that should go in there. It's a great place to keep all your documents organized. Any kind of heirloom, you know, smaller heirloom items that you just can't fathom having them. Yeah, jewelry, yeah. That sort of stuff. It's a good place to just keep all that stuff secured, organized.
Right.
Yeah, I particularly was drawn to the safe doors that you sell from Fort Knox.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you have a concrete room in your house and you want to build, like, a nice fireproof safe zone for somebody, are you better off to do the digital entry? No matter what, if it's the door or the whole safe, people probably are going to digital largely, but I'm old school, and I just kind of think that dial might still have a certain value to it.
Oh, yeah. The mechanical dial lock, been around forever. There's real value to that still, because the failure rate is extremely low. The only problem with them is just the dialing sequence. A lot of people have trouble. It's not the easiest thing to dial open. So for that reason, a lot of people have gone to electronics now. There are some really good electronic locks out there. There are some really, really bad ones. And like Job said earlier, you always get what you pay for. If you are going to go the electronic route, it really does pay to spend a few few bucks more and get a good one.
So if it's electronic, it's got to have some sort of energy source. Right. And are they battery always? Do they plug in? What's that look like?
No, all of the UL rated, at least, safe locks use batteries.
Okay. So if I, you know, so many things in my life that uses a battery, when the battery goes dead, you replace it. Sometimes you got to reset something when it loses power and then it gains power back. How's that work?
Yeah, that can be a real issue on a lot of those cheaper Chinese imports. They will lose memory if the battery goes bad, especially if that battery explodes in there.
Might be what I have going on.
Right? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, because Bob forgot a show plan today, so maybe his battery went bad and something exploded in his head. I don't know.
Doggone Chinese memory.
Yeah. Now, the better electronic locks, though, especially the stuff that's been rated and tested by underwriters laboratories, they use a different type of memory, so dead batteries won't cause a loss of memory. But yeah. You know, but you can get into a spot where you need to get in there now. If you don't have a battery on hand, you know, you're locked out until you get one.
Right.
That is, with a lot of things we own, it's a frustrating thing, and you'll end up on an 800 number sooner or later just trying to get some guy to walk you through it.
So that this a fabulous segue, Bob. The service, okay, well, again, I'll refer back to mine. I got it from my dad's house when he passed away, and it was a bear to move. And I had no idea what I was doing. As it turns out, the doors come off for moving purposes. It cuts the weight in half. And then that's when we put it in the basement at my house. But at the when we were moving it out, we weren't smart enough to take the door off. Didn't even think about it. And it was like killing me. Do you guys provide the services for putting them in? And if somebody in my situation, would you come and help us take it out and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yes to all those answers. We have excellent equipment for moving the things. Our guys, we've got a lot of experience. We deliver probably 95% of the safes that we sell, just because that's a big part of what people need. But yeah, if you're moving locations and you want to take that safe with you, we can move those for you too.
Wow, cool. And that's just I can't
from
overstate.
Experience.
I can't overstate the importance of that.
I see you're right. Planning a move already.
Right? Yeah. No. I'm not right now. But if I ever did, man, I'm picking up the phone.
I'll help. Yeah. I'll keep his number for you because I don't want the call to come out.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't call you. I'd call your boys.
Yeah. Bring your trailer too.
Yeah.
We have followed up on some pretty interesting cases over the years where, you know, a guy gets his buddies over in a case of beer to get that safe moved. Yeah. It gets pretty comical.
Yeah, the beer's gone, but the safe's still in the basement. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And somebody smashed at the bottom of the steps.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's the guy on the top going, "You okay down there?" Yeah, gravity is not your friend when you're moving those things upstairs. Yeah.
So one of the things I see a lot of is tricky little lock boxes to store pistols in around your living quarters, not down in a big safe, but something close for self-defense.
Yeah, that's gotten to be a big thing lately, especially with these new safe security, safe storage laws that Michigan's imposed lately. Been a lot more attention to quick access.
So do you have those?
We do. Yep. Yep.
Okay. So describe that, because that might be more for everybody. I mean, if you got one or two guns, you know, if you're thinking about robbing me, there are two beside my bed, one on my wife's side and one on mine. But one of them is in a safe and the other one isn't, because I only have one of those touch safes.
But his wife will be the one that shoots you.
You're right.
Because
yeah.
He sleeps really hard.
I really debated whether to put that second one over there, because if I piss her off, you know, she's got access.
Yeah, somebody broke in.
Yeah.
They grabbed my pistol. Yeah. Well, I know that you can do like a handprint or thumbprint to open some of those.
Yeah. There's a lot of those different kinds of boxes out there that, with little electronic push buttons, fingerprint readers and stuff. Over the years, we've tried selling a few different kinds and never had great luck with them. What we've really settled on is there's a mechanical push button lock called a Simplex. And there's a lot of different configurations of quick access handgun boxes that use that Simplex lock.
I was looking at that one you had on display.
So it's a number sequence you put in or something?
Yep. It's a completely mechanical push button lock, so it's just as fast as anything electronic,
and
just
and
a lot more
laid
reliable.
Out in a way that you can put your hand on it in the dark and feel your way through it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Matt, we got one more segment, brother, and we're going to ask you to sit by because I'm not done asking questions. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.